The following talk was given at the Insight Meditation Center in Redwood City, California. Please visit our website at audiodharma.org.
So good morning again. You know, the process of meditation, of mindfulness, in the context of stillness, it offers us an opportunity to heighten our senses, to enhance our capacity to experience. And so sometimes that's a wonderful gift, especially when it's a pleasant experience. You know, something energizes us. Something is soaked up as a kind of nourishment. Something opens up our gratitude, our appreciation for the moment. And then sometimes it's unpleasant. And something in us is agitated, distressed. And the challenge of practice is to engage them both. You know? Maybe in a human way, we could say the engagement of the pleasant is a kind of encouragement to our practice. It's a kind of reassurance. Maybe we want to tell ourselves, oh, I'm making some kind of progress. And maybe we are. If we want to think of opening to pleasant as progress. And for most of us, it is a beneficial thing. And it helps to create a reassurance and a trust that the life we're living, the being we are, can be validated and embraced for just what it is. And then there's a way in which engaging the unpleasant can actually have the same qualities. Yesterday I quoted Martin Luther King, you know, where he said, challenging experiences can be both educational and transformative. Yesterday afternoon, I was at a meeting at the Zen Center where I practice, and I'm scheduled to lead a one-day sitting Saturday after next. And it was a planning meeting, and then in the planning meeting, someone said, well, we haven't advertised it. Yeah. And I thought, what? Haven't advertised it? And then I said, well, maybe we should cancel it. But actually, as I attended to my own experience, there was a kind of frustration that it hadn't been advertised. There's a way in which I took it personally. This impacts me. And that statement, even though I said it in a matter-of-fact way, you know, maybe we should cancel it. In an emotional way, it was an expression of my frustration and disappointment. And then that group of us, it's about five people. Usually we get along very well. Usually the feeling in the room when we're going through these planning things is kind of fluid, cooperative, and appreciative. So having that feeling of frustration, disappointment, agitation was in contrast to how I usually feel. And so this often happens for us, you know, our meditation and our dedication to it, it helps to create a benevolence and a spaciousness, you know? And then that stands in contrast to our moments of contraction, our moments of disappointment, our moments of frustration. And in a way, they become more poignant. You know, it's like we're more open to them and we feel them more. So one of the challenges of practice is to, despite that, despite the intensity of the unpleasantness, to still find within ourselves the resource to acknowledge, to notice and acknowledge. Okay, this is how it is. And so yesterday, when I was noticing and acknowledging that what happened to my mind was, then I asked, oh, well, what happened? Yeah. How come that had turned out the way it turned out? That it wasn't advertised? And actually, there was a complicated but logical reason. You know? It wasn't that someone had done it with the intention of hurting me. It was like there was a miscommunication. Oh, this person puts it on the website, and this person connects it to the online programming, and they hadn't communicated. And so it hadn't been promoted. But as I listened to that, as I took in what's going on, you know? So we have an experience, and something in us takes it personally, you know, positive or negative. That's our inclination. But there's also a different kind of inquiry. How come? How come this moment has, or this interaction has come into being? Not so much that our mind gets busy making a story, but that we're opening up to what's going on. You know? And especially when we're relating to others, you know, like opening up to their perspective. Because usually there's some variation between their perspective and ours. And often there's something for us to learn in the moment. So this way in which our emotional response, even when it's unpleasant for us, if we can remind ourselves to meet it with inquiry, and sometimes the inquiry is the interaction between ourselves and others. And then sometimes it's internal. What was I feeling? Or what am I feeling? And what thoughts, what perspectives, what conclusions am I creating in relationship to that feeling? And then as we relate in that way, in that process of discovery, there's an extraordinary thing can happen for us. We start to see what's happening, and we start to see through it. We start to see it. Oh, okay, this is what's happening in this moment. And we start to see, and it's just this moment. It's the occurrence of this moment. It's not the totality of reality. Even though my mind wants to conclude, oh, this is how it is. No. Judging others. Oh, this is a negligent person. And when we can explore, oh, and how did this come to be? What was the process in interactively? Then we listen to others. And then intrapersonally, we look at how we had the feeling, what the feeling evoked in terms of thoughts and judgments, and how that led to conclusions. We see it, and we see through it. And the very interesting thing for us, as we do that, it invites us in an affirming way to trust our practice. Ah. When we learn something about who we are, about how we're interacting, it evokes within us a certain kind of trust and confidence in the practice. And as Martin Luther King said, it can also have a transformative quality, because as we see it, and rather than just drop into our habitual way of responding, we see the possibility of a different response. And when we take that different response, something in us is relieved. Something in us is heartened by the discovery of possibility. That even difficult experiences, unpleasant experiences, challenging experiences, frustrating experiences offer us something. And if we can remind ourselves that even though the first response can be one of pushing away, you know, which is essentially about frustration, annoyance, agitation, it's a kind of no. I'm not going to go with this. I don't like it. Somebody's to blame for being wrong. When we can go beyond that, when we cannot let that be definitive, conclusive, end of story, when we can turn towards it and notice it and experience it, it can have a teaching for us. It can create another story. It can create an alternative conclusion. And that's encouraging for us. When we have the difficult experience and we fall into habitual disappointment, discouragement, frustration, that's discouraging for us. When we evoke this alternative, we're encouraged. As Martin Luther King says, we're educated and it holds the potential for transformation. So maybe today, when you feel something, disappointment, discouraging, you can remind yourself of that and say, what's going on? And maybe it's interactive. Like when I asked the group yesterday, well, I asked one person in particular. They explained it to me, and when they explained it to me, I thought, oh, well, that makes sense. This person did that, and then they went on vacation. And so this other person drew a conclusion from what they'd done and didn't advertise it. It all made sense. It was something that needed to be mended, but still it made sense. So maybe today you'll be blessed with something that annoys you. You'll be instructed by something that frustrates you or disappoints you. Thank you. Whatever the day turns out to be, may you enjoy it and be supported by it.